It's been a great week. We've enjoyed being with you very much. It's gone by quickly and such, but we're so grateful that we were able to have this opportunity to get to know you as a church family a little bit, and appreciate Pastor and Brother Longsign as well, and we felt right at home. And so some of you may have heard, at about 11:30 at night last night, I checked my email, and I got an email from Jim Schneider over at VCY, and he said, hey, if you're in the area, you want to come over and do an interview. So I got to go over to VCY today and be on the Crosstalk program, and that was exciting to be able to do that. A little bit nerve-wracking, but it went very well, and appreciate, I was just reminded of different folks that are all across our nation that are standing for the truth and doing their best to be lights. And so as we go from here, we're going to be praying for you as a church that you'll continue to be a light in this area. Boy, a lot of people in this area need Christ. And people have religion around here, but they don't have Christ, so many. And so you folks keep at it. And if you're able to, I know we just had us in, so maybe you've had your fill of us, but October 24th, I am doing a concert along with the family, at least Amanda. I don't know if the kids will be doing anything there. It's kind of high pressure to throw them into without having, we might do one. Might do a Christmas song just for fun and such. But at the VCY rally in Waukesha, and so that'll be October 24th. And if you're able to come out, we'd love to have you there, and want it to be a success for folks, and that'll be exciting. Okay, First Samuel chapter number 16. First Samuel chapter number 16. I do enjoy speaking on the topic I'm going to speak tonight. It hasn't always been that way, but as we go through, I hope to bring some principles to your attention tonight that'll be a help to you, and stuff that will cause us to think, all right, anew and afresh. Thinking's good, right? Amen? Anyone want to think? Say, Brother Ben, it's Wednesday night. It's been a tough week already. There's 2 days to go. I know. Try thinking, though. It doesn't take, it's not that bad. All right, I do it at least once or twice a week. All right, so let's try tonight, okay? First Samuel chapter 16, we come on this story here where King Saul is having a terrible time. He's turned his back on God, and as you know, when you turn the light off, there's no other option but darkness. When you turn your back on the light, the only option is darkness, right? And so King Saul has turned his back on God, and as a result, darkness has enveloped him. Look at chapter 16, verse number 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. I want to point out right now that is something we do not have to be afraid of today. We don't have to be afraid of the Holy Spirit departing. Why is that? Well, at this point in time, during this age, as God dealt with people, the Holy Spirit did not indwell a person. He would come upon a person. That's why you see it phrased that way. The Holy Spirit came upon such and such. He came upon Saul. In fact, a lot of times we think of Saul as a bad guy, but if you look at how he started, he had a lot of things going for him. In fact, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, the Bible says, and he prophesied with the sons of the prophets. Okay? And the Bible says God gave him a new heart. You can check that out. But he turned his back on God, and so the Holy Spirit removed himself from Saul. And an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servants said unto him, Behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. Let me point out a couple things really quickly here. Number one, don't let that throw you at all when the Bible says an evil spirit from God. Okay? I think it's important that we realize that the kingdom of heaven, that God's power is not just a little bit better than the devil's power. Now, what do I mean by that? Sometimes we have this idea that, you know, there's going to be this big battle and God's going to win. And boy, is it going to be a great battle. I mean, it's just going to, they're going to fight back and forth and eventually God's going to win. That's not the way it's going to be, friends. Okay. Say, what do you mean by that, Brother Ben? All right. When God wants to act, when God comes and Jesus returns in judgment, he's not going to need any help. The sword, the word of his mouth, he will defeat his enemies simply by the word of his mouth. Why do I bring that up here? Because it's important for us to remember that even the forces of darkness cannot operate without permission from God. You remember Job, right? And that whole situation there. The devil had to ask permission, basically. So friends, don't fall for this this idea that the devil's almost as good as God and you know there's this big battle and such. No, it's not that way, okay? But I also want to point out, it says that the servants said, "We want our king, we want our boss to be happy." Oh, you can understand that. So they say, "Let's find a music guy." So what do you mean, a music guy? Yeah, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for a music guy. Let's find a music guy. Well, what good's that gonna do? Well, they think that maybe the music will help Saul. Now, I don't know why they had that thought in the first place. Obviously, I don't think they pulled it out of thin air. But they're going to find a young man by the name of David, aren't they? And the Bible says he's a cunning player on a harp. In other words, he was good at what he did. He was good at it. We'll talk about a harp in a second. But he was good at it. Now, I think that's important because, friends, one day David was playing for the sheep, and the next day he's playing for the king. What's the point to draw home from that? Well, friends, you never know when a door of opportunity may open to you, and you, whatever condition you are in is going to be the condition that you take that door of opportunity. If you're taking music lessons, practice. Be ready. You don't know when an opportunity will open. But look at what they find in verse 18, what the Bible describes David as. He says, verse 18, "Then answered one of the servants and said, 'Behold, I've seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing,'" there it is, he was good at what he did, "'and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person.'" What does that mean? He was handsome. It's not a sin to be good looking. Yes, amen. I've asked that question just about everywhere I go, and I hardly ever get an amen out of anybody, you know, and that was good, all right. Amen. I also want to point out, it says he was a man of war. You see that? I have a personal problem with the idea that is around today that you cannot be 100% man and musician at the same time. You follow what I mean? There's kind of this thought that you can't, well, if you're a man and a musician, you must somehow be less than a man, you know. I know where that thought comes from. And because men who are musicians or artistic in their temperament tend to have very deep emotions that run deeply. And so sometimes they get criticized or kind of put off in the corner as not being as macho in our society. Well, I dare you to tell David that. I dare you to go up to David and say, "Well, David, you're kind of wimpy. I mean, you play the harp." And as he's holding Goliath's head up that he's just chopped off, you can tell him that. Listen, I think it's very important in our churches. We're seeing a dearth. We're seeing a famine of men of God who are good musicians. Now, nothing against the ladies, okay? But I like to encourage young men that I come across to say, "Listen, you play an instrument, you play it like a man." When I sit down and play the piano, I'm trying to do it in a way that honors and glorifies God. My dad is a full-blown musician. But he also taught us as his sons to desire to be manly men for the Lord. I'm not talking about macho. I'm not talking about a false bravado. But David, boy, he was a man of war, but also he could sit down and sing. What does that mean for us? Well, I think it's important that we not underestimate the power that music has. Of course, the most important thing is the last phrase, "and the Lord is with him." Everything is in vain unless the Lord is with us in what we do, friends. So what happens? Look at verse 23. And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that David took an harp. What is that, by the way? It's not an orchestral harp, I can tell you that. Okay, David didn't lug a 1,000-pound orchestral harp out to the sheep. Okay, that's not what we're talking about here. Okay, the biblical harp at this time that he would have used was much more like we would think of as an acoustic guitar. It's not identical, certainly, but that's more of how we would think of it. It was portable; they could take it around with them. So that's what David played. But I want you to see the Bible places the emphasis here on the fact that David played the music. In other words, it says he played with his hand. Why is that important? Because a lot of times when we come to an issue like music, a lot of people spend a lot of time talking about the words. Now let's be honest. Words are, they're the easy part of a controversial topic. For example, let me ask you a question. This is really difficult. Are you ready? Should we, as Christians, spend our time listening to music that is full of cursing? I'll give you a hint. The answer is no. Right? Well, that was pretty simple. That's right. We can just go home now. See, words are concrete. So we ought to be able to take the words of the music that we listen to and line it up against the Word of God and say, okay, does this line up or does it not? But the Bible here places the emphasis on the music itself. As I'm speaking to you on this tonight, I want you to understand, I'm mostly talking about the music itself, not the words. I've had people come up to me and I'll say, Brother Ben, what do you think of this song? Do you like this song? And they'll bring me a sheet of paper with words on it. And I say, well, the words look good, but I have no idea what the song is like. You follow what I mean? Music is more than just the words. Now, it's possible that David sang. I'm not denying that, okay? Maybe even probable. But the Bible places the emphasis on the music. All right, so what happens? So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Let's pick that apart here, okay? I've got four principles for us tonight, okay, to think about. First of all, it has to do with this idea that Saul was refreshed. Everyone do something with me if you would, if you're able to. Okay, we're going to take a deep breath in. We're going to hold it for a second, and then we're going to exhale. You ready? Here we go. In.
Hold it. Out.
If we do that too many times, some of you are going to fall asleep, right? That's the Hebrew word behind this word refreshed. It means to breathe freely. The first principle I want to point out to you tonight is that music has physical power. Music has physical power. You see, what happened to Saul here was the first thing that happens is that he's soothed. He's able to breathe freely again. You ever get all tight in your chest, you know, and it's... Oh, maybe it's the cares of the day or just you're kind of panicking a little bit or whatever it might be and you just get all tied up, you know? That's how Saul was, and then the music was played, and then a physical result. Now, that ought not surprise us. Why not? Because music, at its core, music is physical. See, music is not... I can open up this hymn book, and we say, okay, read the music. Okay, that's not really music. This is not music. It's written, it's sheet music, you want to call it that, but it's representation so we can create music. See, this sitting here isn't music. Music has to be heard. Now, what is sound? How do we hear things? It's physical, right? In fact, I like some space type movies and shows, you know, things like that within reason. And when the spaceship is about ready to go into warp drive or hyperspace, you know, depending on your genre of choice, okay? They've got some pretty impressive sound effects they can put with it, you know? Oh, that's awesome, you know? You know what a spaceship taking off in outer space really would sound like? Would sound like this. Get ready. Like that. That's what it would sound like. You know why? Someone tell me. Right, exactly. You're all correct. There's no atmosphere. There's nothing for the sound waves to vibrate through. Maybe some of you have been trying to go to sleep at night. And just as you're about to drift off to sleep, all of a sudden you feel this. And you're like, you think you're having a heart attack. You're not having a heart attack. You realize your next door neighbor's teenage son just pulled into the driveway. It's physical. You don't even hear the music even per se. You're hearing the rhythm track, you know, with the subwoofers and such. Okay, it's physical. It comes through. It vibrates through. I could go over here to the piano. Sorry, Mr. Camera Operator. I'll be going back and forth here very much. Is there any way, by the way, to take the monitor out by the piano? Can we cut that? Because when I sit down, I'm probably going to squeal. So if you want to cut that for me while I'm preaching, I don't mind that at all. That'd be helpful. Perfect. Thank you so much. Okay, so here I am at the piano, right? You know how a piano works. I hit a key, and that makes a hammer hit the string, and the string, the chord, vibrates. And I've got this open so you hear it better. You like that? Isn't that a blessing? Okay, that we don't like that because there's tension there, right? Those two notes are right next to each other. Okay. Stop, Brother Ben. No, I won't. Okay. Sound can produce a physical reaction. Imagine I had a chalkboard up here with me. What? I obviously don't have a chalkboard up here. You know what gets me is that you are actually reacting to the memory of a sound. Before my vocal injury, I used to be able to imitate the sound of nails on a chalkboard. I won't do it anymore. You guys are lucky because I used to do it. I'd inhale against my vocal cords, and I'm not supposed to do that. So I'm not going to do that anymore. But you remember that sound. It's awful. It grates on your nerves. It's just a sound. Why are you reacting to it? Because it's physical. Music, because it's sound, has physical power. I mean, it goes beyond that. How many of you like marching bands? Oh, yeah. My dad graduated with 2 degrees from Michigan State University, and he used to chart the halftime shows for the marching band. And so we'd go back, as I was growing up, we'd go back for alumni band day, and we still go back every other year or so, and we hear the marching band. Let me tell you, when that band marches by on the way to the stadium, those of you who've been to a UW game or whatever, you know that. You're ready, after you hear that band come by, you're ready to go in and join the team yourself. You know? Why? It's physical. They don't play ballerina music before the football game. Unless you're an Iowa Hawkeye and they play that into the the visitor's locker room. I had a former Wisconsin offensive lineman tell me that was true. They have the visitor's locker room in plush pink carpet and everything. It's a whole mind thing the University of Iowa does to their team. Why? They're trying to affect them. Okay? Music has physical power. But number two, I want you to see that it says Saul was well. What is this? This speaks to emotional stability. His emotions were up and down. He was angry one moment and melancholy the next, and the music stabilized him. It says he was well. Friends, tonight, I want you to see music not only has physical power, but music has emotional power. I want you to imagine that you're responsible to watch a little kid, maybe a couple little kids out at the ocean. Okay, I don't know why, but just, you know, you're doing that. Things are going really well. The kids are playing in the ocean. You know, maybe you're up on the shore watching. They're laughing and splashing, having a great time. And then in the middle of it, you hear this. Get out of the water now! There's some tension introduced in the situation. Now, do you realize there's a musical reason for the tension? There's a musical. Remember those notes I played for you a moment ago? Remember those? Okay, a composer by the name of John Williams came along in 1975, I think, something like that, and he was hired to write the soundtrack for a movie called Jaws. I'm not recommending the movie necessarily, okay? But it's become such a part of our national consciousness now. Even if you haven't seen the movie, you know this is not good. Unless you're a dentist. But there's a musical reason why that induces tension. Those two notes that I showed you, John Williams, when he wrote the soundtrack, he just took those two notes and rotated them. Okay? I mean, there's more to it than that, but at its base, those notes have tension in them. So it makes sense that that would cause an emotional reaction because there's tension built into the notes. How about this? What does that make you think of? What's that? Dreaming? Okay, what else? A flashback, right? What's that? Ooh, a breeze. Ah. What else? Waterfall, fairy princess. Very nice. Anything else? Brandon? Flying. How come none of you thought of an elephant? Well, because that doesn't sound like an elephant, Brother Ben. Okay, do you realize there's a musical reason for the emotions that you're, the pictures that you're hearing? That you're seeing in your mind? Here's a regular scale. You ready? You don't have to be a musician to hear this. Just listen. You knew that was supposed to end, didn't you? Why? Because that's a scale that has a beginning and an ending. That's a straightforward scale. But if I play for you this scale, it's called the whole tone scale, but it doesn't have a beginning or an ending. Okay? Listen, feel when it's supposed to stop. I'll just tell you, it doesn't. You never feel like it starts or ends. So when I mush them all together, that's what gives you that feeling of disconnectedness. Now, it's important to draw out here that not everyone had the exact same mental picture. Okay? And you'll find that when I talk about music, I never argue that music is by itself, without words, is so specific that it can tell you things like, go rob a bank. Okay? Because some folks that don't like the fact that I'm conservative in my music, they point that out. They say, well, it means different things to different people. I understand that within some degree, but nobody thought of an elephant. See? How about this? Slow motion running, right? Maybe you've never seen Chariots of Fire, but that soundtrack, it just does that, doesn't it? Right? You wouldn't play that at a funeral. Why not? The music is telling you something. Right? It is the Jeopardy theme. And it's got kind of this quizzical nature to it, right? Circus! Pay the rent.
But you must pay the rent.
But I can't pay the rent.
I'll pay the rent. Aha! Aha!
That's how my wife and I met. She paid the rent. You've got the damsel in distress, oh, and the music that goes with her, and then you've got the villain, and then you've got the hero, right? That's exactly what I was going to... All influences there, some date back to the Rocky and Bullwinkle show there. Some of you are familiar with that, right? But my dad used to have a CD called the Carl Stalling Project. Carl Stalling was a man who arranged music for the studio groups that would accompany the cartoons, like Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, all that type of stuff. Not only were those instrument, those players, those musicians incredibly good, but, I mean, the music made the cartoons. See, the music movie industry is a multi-million dollar industry. I haven't checked on the stats recently, so I don't know that I can say billion. But I mean, it's hundreds of millions of dollars that they will pour in to make sure that they have music that goes with the movies or the television show or whatever it is. Why is that? Because music communicates to us emotionally. Let's keep going here for now. What else happens? And the evil spirit departed from him. Music has physical power. Music has emotional power. I want you to see music has spiritual power. You know, music has a way of connecting itself to us, doesn't it? In fact, if someone were to make fun of your brother or sister, some of you, you might join right in and help them. If someone picks on your favorite sports team, we're getting in some dangerous territory now, right? But if someone attacks your music, it's World War III. Why is it? Well, see, music wraps itself around our hearts. It both defines who we are and reveals who we are at the same time. I don't think it's one or the other. I think it's both. And so, friends, when someone attacks our music, we take that personally. I do. When we put a video on YouTube, there's somebody, I don't know who it is, but it might be, you know, 100 people say, oh, we love the video, and they give the thumbs up, you know, and there's some person out there that goes around and clicks thumbs down on every single video we put out, and, you know, it's annoying. I'm like, what did I do wrong, you know? It's hard not to take things personally, even though we remind ourselves. Why? Because music represents who we are. It's part of our life. It's part of our heart. Listen, friends, something that's that close to our heart, don't you think we ought to biblically examine what's going on? See, I sense in a lot of places that I travel even that people are kind of ready to just quit arguing about the music issue. And believe me, I understand. I grew up, my dad was saved out of playing jazz and rock in bars and such. He played his way through college that way and was at one time NPR, or Michigan Public Radio, said he was one of the best up-and-coming saxophonists in the state. And I've heard some of the stuff he used to do, you know. And he got saved And then I still remember, because I'm the oldest, I still remember some of the jazz rock that he used to do, actually. But then God got a hold of his heart, and he began becoming more conservative. And so I lived in a house where people were always wanting to argue with my dad and such. Believe me, if anyone is tired of the music issue or could be tired of the music issue, it'd be me. I grew up with it. In fact, there was one point when I told my wife, I said, I don't care if I ever speak on music again. I'm tired of it. I'm sick of it. And Amanda says, well, now you're probably ready to start speaking on it. Because I have no desire to fight with people. Because you never really win an argument. A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. But you say, then why are you speaking on it? Because I believe music has spiritual impact in our lives. The evil spirit departed from Saul. There are so many parts of Scripture that deal with music. In fact, a lot of people try to discount them because out of 600 or so musical references in Scripture, many of them, for example, occur in the Old Testament. Like, and they played the trumpet with a loud noise or something like that. And so some people say, well, you know, it's just saying they had a trumpet. What's the big deal? And what we're doing is we're passing over some important principles. For example, The Bible connects music with the emotional states of man. It's not just me at the piano illustrating it. Let me give you a few examples. Job, all the torture and torment that he went through. He says, he talks about his lonesomeness, his loneliness, and his soul was aching. And how does he describe it? He says, he compares it to the moaning of a pipe. Now what's that? Well, you know that Mideastern instrument that kind of sounds like this. I'll do a little impression, but it's kind of like... You know, that it's that real... Okay, and we, particularly here in the West, it's not something that we really get into a whole lot, okay? But it's kind of has that mournful, just solitary sound to it. That's similar to what Job was saying. I can only express myself in a musical term because I feel so low. What a principle. How about this? The Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. Wow. Music's put, as describing what God is to us, music's right in the middle of strength and salvation. Maybe it's important. What about Psalm chapter 40? He pulled me out of the horrible pit, right? That word for horrible there, it's a pit of clanging noise. He's saying, God pulled me out of the mosh pit of sin. Wow. But He didn't stop there. He put my feet on a rock, right? He established my goings. Verse 3, and He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. What's He talking about here? The quality of that new song. Listen, if the new song, you know, if the old song is just as good as the new song, why even have a new song? Spiritual. How about the New Testament? James says, is any merry? Not married, but is any merry? Let him sing psalms. In other words, let him express himself with music. How about, well, we'll get to that one in a moment. Let's see, there's just so many and they fly through my head. Okay, here's one. How about when Paul is saying, what fellowship hath light with darkness? Remember that passage? So that doesn't talk about music, just hang on. He goes on in the very next verse, he says, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? That word concord is an interesting word. The word behind it is symphonesis. That's right. If I say, hey, I'm going to take my wife out on a date, and I'm going to take her to the symphonesis. Where are we going? The symphony. That word to sound together with. Symphone. Phone is like phonics. It means to sound. Sin. S-Y-N, along with, or S-U-N, okay, depending on how you transliterate it over, okay? But it means to sound along with. It's like singing harmony. Imagine the musical picture Paul paints there that you don't see right off the bat, but he says, what business would Christ and the devil have singing harmony together? Wow. Well, we wouldn't see that, certainly. Listen, my wife and I sang a duet tonight, right? We had to work together. We had to be in agreement in order to make music that sounds good, right? Can two walk together except they be agreed? You don't see Christ and the devil arm in arm walking down the road. You wouldn't see that. We can be refreshed in our spiritual life, I think, sometimes if we plug in the right music. I'm serious about that. Boy, you know how it is. Maybe you're down and depressed or whatever it might be. And boy, if you just put on that music that encourages your soul and your heart, it can make all the difference, right? Music has spiritual power. It doesn't end there. I mean, we're told other places. Remember, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge and all that, right? That word there, epikoragao, epa, around, kora, that's the same word we get chorus from. I thought about doing a one-man quartet where it's like, you know, the bass is faith, and then the baritone's virtue, or, and then the lead is knowledge, and you know, and you keep building it up. Because all those qualities in our life ought to be in harmony. We build one upon the other. There's so many passages of Scripture that have hidden musical references in them like that. But friends, let's just put it this way. Does the Bible have anything to say about communication? Whew. Probably so, right? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Let no corrupt communication proceed, right? Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that when the Bible talks about communication, it's only talking about the spoken word? If we say yes to that, that means that, well, I can't curse at you with my spoken word, but I can use gestures to do it, and it doesn't count. Oops, that sounds like a Pharisee's, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound like a Pharisee definition? It does. Well, we won't swear by God, but we'll swear by, heaven or whatever. And they always had these ways to get around it, you know? It's a little funny and maybe ironic to me that sometimes someone like myself, and I'm not perfect, friends, I'm far from perfect. Just ask my wife. No, please don't. But so many people seem to think that because I'm generally more conservative, I mean, there's people more conservative than me, that's fine. They accuse me of being a Pharisee. Well, if you're strict, that means you're a Pharisee. I don't think I'm that strict, by the way, but anyway. Well, you must be a Pharisee. A Pharisee is someone who tries to weasel his way around so that he can still do what he wants to do, but yet still follow the quote-unquote letter of the law. So someone who says, well, the Bible doesn't say anything about music, completely forgetting that if music communicates, it falls under the biblical command to be examined, that to me sounds a lot more like a Pharisee than someone who's trying to live in a holy way. Again, I'm not perfect, friends. I just want to be consistent, right? So if music communicates, then to the degree that music communicates, and that's open for godly discussion, okay? But to the degree that music communicates is the same degree that it must fall under biblical scrutiny. And it grieves my heart many times. Many of the places that I go, I shouldn't say many of the places that I go directly, but you know, I'll talk with a pastor and they'll say, oh, so-and-so, or this church over here, or that, or this person I went to Bible college with, or whatever. And they're just like, I'm tired of the music issue. Believe me, I understand. But friends, if it's important to God, it ought to be important to us. I want to give you the fourth principle tonight. And this one, for those of you who may be detail-oriented, it might bug you a little bit because it doesn't match the format of the other three principles. So if some of you, perhaps Pastor or Brother Jared, maybe you might be able to come up with a good way to make this match the other ones, I'd be very interested. I'll pay good money for it, okay? that was a joke. No one laughed. Okay. But I want you to see this, that musical style equals attitude. Musical style equals attitude. Now, I used to wait until after I'd illustrated to say that point, but then I kept forgetting to say the point. So I'm telling you up front, okay? Musical style equals attitude. Now, you say, where do you get this from? Okay, just follow along with me if you would, okay? Here's the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is going through the streets and he's preaching in a particular city. And as he's preaching, there is a young girl that comes up behind him, around him and his followers, and she starts announcing things. And as time goes on, Paul is grieved, the Bible says, and the Bible says he turns around and he casts the demon out of her. Does anyone remember the terrible, awful thing that she was saying about Paul? Anyone remember? Absolutely. These men are the servants of the Most High God. Wait a minute. Let me ask you a question. Was she right? Absolutely. Paul was a servant of the Most High God. Then why was Paul grieved that the truth was being proclaimed? Because the way in which it was proclaimed was actually discrediting the truth. Let me go to the piano here. Let me illustrate some things. This might, some of you may not recognize this one, but you'll still get kind of the feeling. How many of you recognize this? Super Mario! It's a little guy on the screen that jumps around, you know, trying to save the princess, right? That's the scary part. It's like level 3 and I never got past it. Right? That's getting ready for Rocky, right? So why are you playing these things? A couple more here. That's the real Superman theme, in my opinion, okay? John Williams right there. It's heroic, right? So why are you playing these things? Again, just follow along with me, okay? Right? I can't imitate the Peanuts, you know, Charlie Brown. How about this guy? Okay. What is a Pink Panther like? I think he sells insulation nowadays. But the Pink Panther, right? Ba-doom, ba-doom. I'm like shaped completely the opposite of the Pink Panther. But I mean, Brandon, why don't you come over here and sit with mommy, okay? You're really getting into this here. All right. The Pink Panther, right? Ba-doom, ba-doom. I cannot do the Pink Panther, okay? But it goes with the music, right? It's kind of setting that up for us. See? Kind of an attitude of what it is. Okay. I'm going to play a song for you, and I want you to see if you recognize it, okay? How many of you recognize that? Okay, that's The Entertainer, right? It's actually written in a style called ragtime. Ragtime is called that because it was called ragged, because in the left hand it's like a march. Kind of boxy. But the right hand was syncopated. Now, I don't want to confuse you here tonight. Syncopated simply means a surprise, okay? See, it's surprise. You don't expect it. I don't think syncopation is the root of all evil. Let me illustrate why. You hear that? The Luya is syncopated. Syncopation is like salt, all right? You put a little bit on, it can add intrigue to your food. You dump the whole salt shaker on it, it ruins it. Okay, you follow me? But don't get sidetracked on that. Let's go back to The Entertainer. Are you ready? Okay, because I'm going to change it on you. Listen carefully. First way. Second way. How many of you felt the difference? Okay, I'm going to do one more time for you, okay? Here's the first way. Second way. How many of you felt the difference? Okay. The second style I played for you is called swing. Okay? And what it does, instead of being square, it goes. You're saying that's evil and wicked. Just hang on. Okay? That's not what I'm saying. Just follow me, okay? I want you to pretend that you have a business and you had to fire your employee because he was lazy and never showed up to work on time. So you've got two applicants ready to take his place, and you've asked them to sing their application. I don't know why, it's your business. But they show up, and they're ready to go, and I'm just going to make up silly words, okay? But the first applicant comes in, and he's going to sing his application, the first style I played for you on the piano, okay? Here we go. Oh, I am very on time and punctual. You can count on me to be on time. All right? You say, thank you, I appreciate your time. Go sit in the lobby and we'll let you know. Okay, applicant number two. He's going to sing his application, the second style I played for you on the piano. All right? Oh, I am very on time and punctual. You can count on me to be on time. Let me ask you a question. If you're smart, who will you hire?
Number one.
The first guy. But wait a minute. They said the same thing. Yeah, but they didn't say it what? The same way. Friends, hear me carefully. How we speak is just as important as what we speak. Because how we speak spins the words to give their final meaning. Ready for a test question? Here, husbands. Wives, please do not help them. Men, does tone of voice matter? Good answer. Yes, it does. Honey, what do you think of this? How does it make me look? Oh, it looks real good. That pause means a lot. Right? Oh, yeah, I'll help you. I really love you right now. What am I doing? I'm using my tone of voice to communicate a different message than my words alone. See, someone watched this. They didn't see it live, but they watched this, and they completely missed the point. They said, so Brother Ben, you're saying that wrong music is sarcastic, and because wrong music is sarcastic, we shouldn't listen to it. I said, no, that's missing the point. What I'm illustrating is that it's more than just the words. It's the attitude with them. I was at a store not too long ago with a family, and Amanda, I think we're getting a new dress or something. Anyway, she was trying that on, and I was out waiting, and a song came on the radio. I don't know what song it was. I don't know all the words, but I do remember this. It's supposed to be a romantic song. It went something like this. I love it when you whisper in my ear. I started cracking up. Can you imagine I take my wife out on a date? I'm like, come here, baby. I'm going to sing something for you. We get all nice and cozy, and all of a sudden I'm whisper in her ear. Do you think that's going to have any kind of effect that I want? I don't think I'll be getting any kisses. I'll be getting, what are you doing? I'm singing a romantic song. Okay, but you're not singing it in a romantic way. Right? If I were to get up here, and I've got about 5 minutes left here because The reason that I err so much, if you can call it that, on the side of illustration is that music is one of those areas where it's hard to write a book about it because it's something we hear and experience. It's kind of like a dog trying to describe a rainbow, right? It's hard. So I am working on a book about music that hopefully will help people, but to hear it, it's like, oh, well, that makes sense. Listen, I want you to know, I don't argue that everyone has to be in the same box, okay? We've grown up in different cultures and subcultures. Let me illustrate biblically. The children of Israel are taken into captivity, and their captors, the Babylonians, they say, sing to us one of the songs of Zion. And the Israelites say, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? So what's the principle there? Well, there's many, but one is that they so attached their music to their homeland that they couldn't bear to bring themselves to sing it. So when someone says, well, Brother Ben, I think music's just a cultural thing, I halfway agree. Why would I say that? Music is partly a cultural thing. Listen, if you grew up around here in the Midwest, when you head to the hills of Kentucky and the churches there sing differently, if you're not prepared for that, kind of throw you a little bit because you're not familiar with it. And vice versa. If they were to come here, it would sound different. You follow what I'm saying? I don't argue that everyone has to be in like this little tiny box. And folks have criticized me, saying, well, Brother Ben, he just believes that everyone should just listen to hymns and be bored and just sit like bumps on a log. Yeah, that's what I'm like. I'm a boring, you know, mean person. No, that was sarcasm, by the way. My passion is to see the truth presented accurately. Here, let me illustrate this, and please, pastor and deacons and such, please give me a little bit, because don't throw me out right away, okay? If I were to get behind this pulpit, and as a guest coming in, and I were to preach like this, okay? God is holy. God is righteous. Okay, if I kept doing that, Already, some of you are uncomfortable. Good. So am I. But if I kept going that way, pastor and others are going to escort me out. Why? It's not the words that I'm saying, it's how I'm saying them. But now watch, okay? I'm going to stretch my words out. God is holy. God is righteous. I just turned it into music. Oh, and now it's a great Christian work of music that will honor the Lord. Well, wait a minute. If I spoke it, I'd get thrown out. But if I sing it, people say it's great. Do you see the disconnect? I'm not saying everyone has to agree with me with every jot and tittle, but do you see that it's a slant? In fact, jazz music, which, and I want you to notice something. I haven't attacked individuals. I haven't named groups. I haven't shown you pictures of album covers. I haven't, I've hardly even talked about specific styles at all. I've mentioned ragtime and swing to note the difference between them. But hopefully you can see this. What I'm trying to get you to see is principles. See, we come to the Word of God, and there's principles such as, let's give an illustration. How about modesty? Is modesty taught in Scripture? Absolutely. Do we all apply the principle identically? No. When it comes to music, people sometimes want all or nothing. They either want to say, you've got to fit into my exact box or you're not godly. Or they want to say, the Bible doesn't say anything about it. Both extremes are wrong. The Bible gives us principles that we are then responsible to live out. And so, I don't know if I make anyone happy, you know? I don't know. But the point is simply this. We ought to be passionate about how the character of God is presented. And the problem here is that many times people, in an attempt to do something right sometimes, they want to take the character of God and present Him to the world in a way that makes Him attractive to them. But here's the problem. You have to change the nature of who God is to make Him attractive to someone who loves their sin. So the problem is the same thing when we try to wrap up the gospel into a candy bar. How do you do that? You have to change the nature of the gospel in order to do that. And music, why is music such a lightning rod? Because one of the first places someone will go to try to adopt that, make it popular to the sinner idea is the music. In closing here tonight, how can we then make wise musical choices in our lives? Well, I'll be very honest with you, okay? Some parents have come up to me and they said, well, Brother Ben, we want to help our young person, and so we have given them the rule that they can only listen to Christian music. Okay? And I applaud their effort. But let's compare music to every other area of our life, okay? Do you only live in church? Now, some of you on, you know, pastoral staff, it's pretty close. But no, we go to the grocery store. We play basketball. We watch the Packers, right? We have different areas of our life, and there are conversation, clothing, behavior that goes along with those situations, right? Some people say, well, we can get excited for the Packer game, but we can't get excited for church. Well, it's two different kinds of excited. We probably wouldn't want Packer-type excitement in the church. No cheeseheads. No cheeseheads. Pastor preaches a great point. Lambeau leap into the... It has to do with context. You follow? So when I'm here working at night, or if I'm walking the dog at night, or Miles is walking the dog at night, I might be in my pajamas, okay? You don't want to come around. It's clothing that's appropriate for that activity. I'm not going to preach that way. See? Friends, music is just like every other area of our life. And so what I mean by that is simply this. When I go on a date with my wife, I don't put in Ron Hamilton. So, well, why not, Brother Ben? Are you not spiritual? I'm going to put in romantic music. Why? Because it's appropriate in that context. You follow what I'm saying? But I'm not going to get up here and say, I'm going to sing about my Savior in a romantic way. It doesn't work that way, right? You won't hear me sing completely ever how I would sing to my wife. Why? Because it's between her and me. Do you follow what I'm saying? I'm trying to be consistent. I don't have time to give you all the specifics there. But here, can I give you this this diagram? I don't have anything to write on, so you're going to have to imagine it, okay? I want you to imagine four quadrants, okay? It's like a plus sign right here, okay? Four quadrants here. On the top, this category is godly, okay? This category is ungodly. Then I want you on the side to write in your mind secular, and then I want you to write sacred. Okay, do you get that? So we've got four boxes here. This column is godly. This column is ungodly. Going across the rows, the top row is secular. The bottom row is sacred. You say, why is this important? Just follow. If we go into this top box, which was what? We had godly and secular, right? I believe there is a such thing as godly secular music. What? Let me start easy, okay? I do not enjoy Mozart, but I do enjoy some Beethoven. I think you can listen to Beethoven's music and it's okay. I used to sing in barbershop quartets. We would sing, baby face, you've got the sweet, cutest little baby face, right? Okay, fun, enjoyable, wholesome music. Now, in barbershop, you got to be careful. Every once in a while, something will sneak in there that's not appropriate, right? Do you follow what I'm saying so far? Okay, move over here, ungodly, secular. What is secular music anyway? Secular music is music that's not designed for worship. Okay, the radio waves and television and YouTube is filled with ungodly secular music. It's designed to feed man's sinful appetite. So that's a big category. Let's move down. Sacred. I believe there is such thing as godly, sacred music. What is that? That is music intended for worship that matches the character of God. That's what we should be striving for. In our corporate worship, certainly, because I think the standard should even be higher in corporate worship to avoid being a stumbling block to other people. But even in our personal private worship, I think we need to be extra careful because we're directly dealing with the character of God. There's also something ungodly sacred. Now, that sounds like an oxymoron, and it is. But that's music that's designed for worship, but it borrows from Egypt. You remember the children of Israel after Moses has come down from the mountain? Sometimes we think of them as just lapsing into horrible, wicked sin. They did. Well, they were worshiping an idol. Yes, they were. What did Aaron tell them they were going to do? Tomorrow, he says, is a feast unto the Lord. When they have that golden calf, he says, these be the gods that brought thee out of Egypt. They were having a worship service. And Aaron was saying, we're going to have a feast unto the Lord. What were they doing? They were having a huge praise and worship service, all right, with immoral, sensual activity mixed in with the dancing and the music. Friends, we cannot mix sensuality and worship because that breeds idolatry. Well, we've gone on a whirlwind trip tonight, haven't we? Okay? Hopefully these things have been a help to you, all right? As Captain Patch, Ron Hamilton, has said in the past, I really appreciate this. He says, when it comes to music, I don't ever argue that everyone has to be in the exact same seat in the bleacher section. But generally speaking, we should find ourselves in a similar area because we ought to be passionate about the holiness of God. That's a good way to put it. Are you passionate about making sure that our music represents who God is? I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. I appreciate so much your attention, your patience this evening. I'm not a perfect preacher. There's so much more about this that can be brought out, but hopefully you've caught my heart tonight. My desire is not to be holier than thou. It's not to be my way or the highway. That's not it. My desire is just to get us to think. You say, Brother Ben, I'm not a musician, so music doesn't affect me. Well, I understand that, but just because I'm not an electrician doesn't mean that I go and, you know, stick my finger in electrical outlets anymore. Say, anymore? I used to do that as a kid. Say, well, that's foolish. Right. Because it doesn't matter if I'm an electrician or not, it still affects me. Friend, you could be a musician or not, music still has power. Maybe here tonight and say, you know, Brother Ben, I appreciate this tonight. It's helped me. It's helped me in some area of my heart and life this evening. Would you pray for me? If that's you tonight, would you simply put your hand up? Yes. Thank you. I see those. Many hands. Yes, thank you. May put those down. Anyone else here tonight? Yes, amen. I see those. Amen. Anyone else?